got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
On 920 The Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on this Tuesday. Time for the Mac Attack on 920 The Game. Almost got my mics mixed up there. Sitting there looking on this one. You're like, no, Big Mac, you're on the other mic today. I was waiting for the okay.
I saw you look down. I was like, no, you chose your microphone.
That's on you, Big Mac. Yeah. Not me. I'm ready for the opening round, but don't hit it. That wasn't just because I said the words. We're not there yet. Actually, before we get to the opening round and coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Ryan, the hockey guy, one half of the VGK Insider crew over on our sister station over there on Fox Sports. He's going to be in to talk about that big win for the Vegas Golden Knights last night in San Jose at the Shark Tank. One of the more complete efforts from this team that I have seen all season. Really fast, up-tempo game, hard-hitting, great passes, forecheck was solid, both in ends of the ice, just great, great hockey played by the Golden Knights in a game that, you know, meant a lot. But sticking in the local scene, not with the Vegas Golden Knights, but with our one and only running Rebels, obviously, as we know, Mark, last week, head coach Marvin Menzies was fired. We are now on head coach watch. The speculation has begun. Lots of names being thrown out there. I think the Thad Mata thing has been kiboshed or squashed. I think that's been thoroughly debunked on multiple fronts from multiple sources, from multiple legitimate outlets. So I don't know where you're at on that. Kind of a bummer. I actually wanted to see Thad in there. I know it was a long shot because, well, there's a lot of things at play. We don't have time to get into that. But when I was talking to Cofield yesterday, something I didn't know about Thad Mata. Thad Mata's only 51 years old.
Yeah.
I thought he was a lot older. So that I just thought was a little bit interesting. But obviously we're keeping our eyes on the coaching hunt. But news coming down in regards to the players, it looks like potentially, at least according to one Evan Daniels of 24/7 Sports, he has this to say, Joel Ntambwe and Jonathan Chamachachwa, JTT, they are looking at transferring out of UNLV now with the firing of Marvin Menzies, which is a pretty big deal when you look at these two freshmen. There's a lot ahead of them. Obviously, you know, we saw great things from this freshman duo at different points throughout the season, right? Now you might not be seeing anything from them because they might be on their way out, and this is the issue. When you do someone like this, when you do a coach like this who only had really a two-year window, there's going to be some sour taste left in people's mouths, and this is a ramifications of it.
Yeah, like we've said, you know, numerous times, this isn't how you build a program by changing the coach every 3 years. You know, these players, for the most part, commit to a coach. They don't commit to a university.
Yep.
It's the coach that is selling them on coming to play for them, and you know, as a bonus, you get to throw in the university. When your coach is gone, one, you're not guaranteed anything. You know, you don't know if the guy who is coming in after the coach who recruited you, do you fit into their plans? Do you fit into their scheme? When there's not a coach being named after the coach has been fired, you know, you're kind of sitting in limbo trying to figure out. And if you're going to leave, you need to make that decision sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there's always a chance that they stick around. I mean, it's not finalized yet. It just looks like that's what's potentially coming down the pipeline.
They put their name into the transfer protocol.
Yes. So there is that. There's a bit of that holding pattern. I guess there, you know, you can still hold out hope, but it's certainly not a good sign. Now, the talk around, you know, UNLV Nation, running Rebel Nation, right? Obviously, there's concern, but then there's the people that are saying, you know, no big deal. It's two freshmen. You know, let's focus on a better coach instead. Like, let's worry about that. This isn't a big deal. Well, specifically in Ntambwe, he averaged 11.8, so essentially 12 points per game last season and 5.5 rebounds. That's as a freshman.
Yeah,
that's huge.
That's a kid that, you know, a lot of people think, and you know, I'm of the same thinking as well, that He's going to play basketball for money in the future. Now, whether that be in the NBA, whether it be overseas, that's an argument for another day.
Sure.
He is a professional basketball player. Yep. He's going to be a professional basketball player. And those are the kind of guys, you know, if you can have a guy who's going to stick around for 4 years and who eventually is going to play professional basketball, those are the kind of guys you want in your program.
Yep. And now they're not there.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. You know, obviously coming down the pipeline and the ramifications of all this, but this is the start of it. This is okay. JTT, Tomboy, they're gone. If they leave, it is a deal.
Yeah.
It's not just something to gloss over. It's not just a Menzies problem. This is a problem recently with UNLV over the last 15, 20 years, 10 years, however you want to look at it, of the coach runaround.
Yeah.
The 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know.
I'm sure Marvin Menzies and his staff, you know, as they're walking out the door, they're not going to turn around and say, hey, you know, you guys should stay here.
You got did dirty.
They're not going to put in a good word
for you. Hell no. No, not at all. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep you updated as far as the coaching search goes, obviously, and we'll keep you updated any news involving any potential players and transfers. But right now, we got some big news. It's time for the opening round.
It's time for the opening round, brought to you by VIP Collision.
Got to bury the lead there. We got some big news. Just the biggest signing, biggest contract in sports history. It was just announced this morning. Kind of took everyone, I don't know about everyone, took me by surprise. Mike Trout has just signed. This is coming out just a few hours ago. Mike Trout is in the process of finalizing a 12-year, 430-plus million-dollar extension, staying in Anaheim and making him the highest-paid player in baseball, and this being tenure over the period, the total number, the largest contract in pro sports history. I don't think we're going out on a limb here. No one deserves it more than Mike Trout.
No, he's by far and away the best baseball player in the world.
I just want to say, two American League guys. We got some good players. You have some really good players on the Astros.
Yeah.
When you have a guy that is universally regarded as the best. I don't think there is any question.
No.
You can make cases for people being a little bit better than maybe one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the total package goes, no one, I'm not going to say no one comes close, because we are living in an era of baseball that is really special.
Yeah.
It is a special era of five-tool players and well-rounded. But
I saw a stat.
Yeah.
Mike Trout was taken 26th or 27th
in
his draft, and I'm blanking on what year it was. Might
2009.
Be 2009?
Yeah, because I saw him that rookie year in like his 13th game,
gotcha.
And he was just kind of getting wheels underneath him, and it's like, hey, you might want to keep an eye on this kid. He's got a hot start.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Well, 27. So if he was taken 27th, the 26 people in front of him, draft picks in front of him, have combined for 112 wins above replacement, and that's your war.
Right.
Mike Trout, who's taken 27th, has over half of that number by himself. He's at 63.5 wins over replacement.
That's gross.
So
I would love to see some of the other names that were in that list, too, because you know it's a good draft class. Wow.
63.5 wins above replacement, and we are just getting to Mike Trout's prime.
Yeah, we're just approaching it, because he came into the league at 18 years old, 19 years old. That is incredible. It is incredible on so many fronts. It's incredible from a sheer mathematics standpoint. The numbers are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible that we're living in an era where this kid, guy, man now, started as a kid, now he's a man, is doing what he's doing against the pitchers in the era that he's doing it. Then it's also incredible that this dude just signed a 12-year contract with a team that has four, I don't want to be harsh here, but I ain't got Pujols. They did some things. But they have really not made any large attempts to build the team around Mike Trout, which is the kind of the sticking point of everyone, you know, prior to this 12-year extension was, will he stay? Will he is you know, and we know Mike loves Anaheim. He loves the people. He loves the organization. He there was a good chance he was going to stay. Well, now it's finalized. He is staying in Anaheim. And now I'm just left with a ton of questions. It's like, okay, I'm a baseball fan.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see this dude win.
Yeah.
I'm a White Sox fan, so I'm definitely, like, when baseball season kicks off on Wednesday, I mean, technically in Tokyo with the Mariners, right? I'm going to be looking for other things to be excited about this season because I'm a baseball fan and I'm a White Sox fan. I can't, you know, I can't watch the White Sox every day. I'm not a glutton for punishment. I don't hate myself that much.
Yeah.
You know, I'll keep an eye on them. I'll tune in here and there, but I want to see what baseball has to offer this season. And the one of the biggest stories, obviously, Bryce Harper going to Philly, but every year is Mike Trout. What are the Angels going to do to stop wasting this the most talented player of his generation? And Mark, when it's all said and done, might be the greatest baseball player of all time.
Yeah, and you know, you say you want to see what Mike Trout. You know, you're a fan of baseball. I'm a fan of baseball too, but in the same breath, you know, all this did today was just cement that I have to deal with Mike Trout in the same division as the Astros for, you know, another 12 years.
Isn't that kind of great though, from a foil standpoint, that you get to play against on a regular basis?
Like, yeah, I mean,
if you're going to go to Texas and see the Astros play, there's a chance that you're going to see Mike Trout play. Flip side, the Astros come to Los Angeles or Anaheim, Southern California, and you get to go see Mike Trout play. That's the thing. If I go see my White Sox play, I'm going to have to go see him play in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Which I did when he was a rookie, and I got to see him. And I try to go every year to see my White Sox just to keep an eye on him, right?
I do too. And
so we get to see Mike Trout.
Yeah, it's not a bad drive down there. And there could be worse places in the world to, you know.
And there could be worse star players to watch beat your team than Mike Trout. I get it.
It's just, you know.
I get it, yeah. Because if they do start building the team around the greatest player of his generation.
Exactly. Then, then you have to start worrying a little bit more. But, I don't know if I trust the Angels to build something had. You know, it was the same with Albert Pujols in the National League Central for so long, going against my Astros. And then the Astros moved to the American League, and the Angels were like, why don't we sign Albert Pujols and bring him, you know. So it's just like.
Thanks, Anaheim.
Two of the best hitters in the history of the game.
Yeah.
And I've had to deal with them.
Yeah.
Their whole entire career.
You just have
basically
to wallow in your World Series trophy.
I will.
And the potential of all these future World Series trophies, depending on which way everything goes for Anaheim. Or I should say, which way everyone goes for Houston. Obviously, the numbers. Let's get into that real briefly before we got Ryan, the hockey guy, coming up here shortly to talk about last night's win for the Vegas Golden Knights against the San Jose Sharks. Just the number is just astonishing. Yeah. First of all, sorry, Bryce Harper, your number. Well, first of all, one last year, all that no opt-out stuff. Okay, that's not. I don't think that's an issue with the Trout. I don't think we have details on that. That's not an issue. But also, he gets about $100 million more dollars than you. So that largest contract, and that lasted about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So
good for you, Bryce.
Good for you, Bryce. It kind of makes me wonder why this happened, when it happened, if this was the plan all along, set the bar with Harper. I don't know. I have no idea. What we do know is that Anaheim is looking for a new stadium.
Yep.
They're either looking in Long Beach or they're looking somewhere in Anaheim. Now, the common thought is, and this is from our buddy Arash Markazi, and I don't think it's pretty common knowledge that, you know, it's going to help a lot having Mike Trout locked up for 12 years and this money. If you're going to be lobbying for a new stadium, you need a reason to build that stadium. Mike Trout is as good a reason as any.
Mm-hmm.
We go. We visit our teams in those stadiums. We would like a nice stadium. So Mike Trout's a guy who definitely brings in those eyes. What about the number? Like, are we approaching a time? I know people say this. I was watching the inflation of contracts. I think like Babe Ruth made like 50K or 100K. That was the big deal. Nolan Ryan made $1 million in 1980. I remember when Ryan Sandberg was the highest paid player, was $7 million. Alex Rodriguez, I think, was around
225.
Yeah, so it was like 25, 26, 30, something like that. This is like 37 with Mike Trout. The jump has been less from 2009 to 2019. It hasn't been that inflation. I understand that Major League Baseball is $11.5 billion, conglomerate organization. It is a very rich organization, but I still can't escape the feeling that at some point these contracts are, the money is going to stop topping out. Like, sports can only grow so much. They can. We reach a plateau at some point.
I think we have. I
feel that way too.
I think with this deal, well, one, there's not a better player in the world than Mike Trout.
And conceivably, there might not be a better one coming down the pipeline.
Exactly. You know, Mike Trout is a generational player. He's one of the guys that in 50 years that like how we talk about Babe Ruth, how we talk about Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle,
Ken Griffey
and those
Jr.
guys. Yeah, there's only a few guys that you continue to talk about as the best ever, and Mike Trout is that guy. I don't see any other players right now, rookie or not, that is going to come close to the kind of player that Mike Trout is. So I do think we have reached that plateau.
Yeah.
And I think after this, contracts will start to not necessarily go down, but
hover there.
Yeah, I you know, for the love of me, I can't see a $450 or $450 million contract being doled out.
Yeah, I mean, what you going to reincarnate?
Yeah.
A prime Ken Griffey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a guy I could see that, or the MVP winning season of a Frank Thomas hitting 340,
yeah,
330, whatever it was,
50 home runs,
yeah, and 140, yeah, 50, right, exactly. Those, but that just doesn't happen in baseball anymore. Part of what makes Mike Trout so special, right? The pitchers, I mean, we're just dealing with an entire different game, an entire different level of science, biology, physiology, yep, all of this.
Yep.
It's just a different era in sports. So this is it. You know, all this stuff aside, you know, is this the cap? You know, are the Angels going to build around him? Why did they do this? It really doesn't matter, because this is justice for a player, for me, that deserves it. I'm glad that we didn't have to wait around like we did in the offseason with Bryce Harper, Manny, mm-hmm, Machado, Nolan Arenado. Well, Nolan wasn't waiting, but Manny and Bryce, right? I'm glad this gets taken care of. He gets the rub. He gets the push. He gets that acknowledgement, a tip of the cap from the Angels, Major League Baseball, and the fan base. My question to you is, we've talked about this regularly with Mike Trout, is that he is not a star. It is unfathomable that this, you know, clean-cut, block-jawed farm boy from, you know, just everyday, quote-unquote, American, white, yeah, guy. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, that's typically who sports look for. Right? He's got the smile. He's got the face. He's got the skill. He's got all of these things. But for whatever reason, Mike Trout is not a star. Now, we've went into it. He doesn't go out and he doesn't do the legwork. He doesn't want to. He doesn't feel like it's a part of his job description.
Yep.
My question to you, Mark, is, will this contract at $430+ million, could this, just the number of it, yeah, the culture we live in, could the number make him a bigger star? Could the number raise his profile? Could this be doing some of the legwork that Mike Trout refuses to do?
It might be something that the Angels might have talked to him about. Like, hey, you know, we want to give you this contract. If we're going to do this, we're going to need a little bit, some help from you in terms of marketing, mm-hmm, yourself and you know, making yourself the star that everybody knows and thinks you deserve,
right,
to be.
Right. We're trying to get this new stadium,
uh-huh,
and you're a big part of that, because,
yes,
Mike, you are the best baseball player potentially ever.
Yeah, we need you to,
right,
put us on your back for a little bit and go out and be seen and do some things. And like I said, make yourself the star that everybody in this organization and pretty much around the world knows,
yeah,
that you should be. Whether you want to or not.
Now, my last question before we segue into a little VGK talk, and this is a question I have with Bryce Harper in Philly. It's like, how long is he going to stay? All 13 years? I mean, they can come to agreement. There's no opt-out, but he can move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact specifics of Mike's contract, but, you know, you got to think 5-6 years from now, Trout's in his, you know, mid to lower 30s. If things don't work out, like, they get the stadium, but they don't have the winner around them. It's clear that they're in the basement and things aren't happening. Could you see, do you think Mike Trout will stick around? Because it is really interesting. He's a man of comfort.
Uh-huh.
He's a man of habit, really, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I stand on this. Where are you?
Well, it you know, like I just said with it, I would think that the organization and Mike Trout sat down and, you know, they didn't just throw a number out to him and say,
sure,
hey, you want to sign this long contract? You know, I would think that him and his agent probably, you know, made it clear to the organization that, you know, if this is what you want me to do, you know, you've got to make me some kind of, you know, guarantee or promise that we're going to go out and we're going to make this team a contender. You're going to go out and, you know, not just spend all your money on me, but go out and try to make this team a winning team.
Maybe this is what they were waiting on. Maybe as we ask about what's going on with Anaheim, why aren't they putting around a winner around Mike? Well, maybe,
yeah,
their entire...
They were
focus
waiting to get
was this deal.
Yeah, waiting to get a
and then the stadium
a confirmation from Mike Trout that,
yep,
he was going to stick around. And,
yep,
once he said yes, I will, I'll sign the contract. Now, you know, maybe they go out and try to sign some other big name free,
yep,
agents.
Definitely. So big day for Mike Trout. Big day for baseball. Big day for athletes in general. That's going to do it for the opening round. Our friends out there at VIP Collision. Out there in Henderson 323 Sun Pack Court. You heard him. You know him. You love him. Well, maybe you don't love him. You should love him. You mentioned my name. You mentioned Cofield's name. You mentioned ESPN. You mentioned 920 The Game. You mentioned Sports Radio. They're going to give you 10% off anything you get done at VIP Collision. And I just said this last week. I'll give a little reminder. There's an English Bulldog down at the shop at VIP Collision. All right, maybe you just like animals. Maybe you drive around with a kid right now and you just want to go see a bulldog. I'm not saying you actually have to get work done. You could just go say hi to Gray. Give him a pat on the head for me. I'm a bulldog lover. Mark, you're a bulldog. We love dogs. VIP Collision loves dogs. Go say hi to Gray. All right, final thing before we get to Ryan the Hockey Guy coming up from Fox Sports. This is a tweet I saw from our pal over at the Associated Press, Willie Ramirez. You know Willie, right, Mark?
Yep.
So he was in San Jose last night, and apparently a Vegas Golden Knights fan was gifted or given a etiquette card. Apparently, the fan was leaning over in their seats too much and blocking the view. So the Sharks gave him a card with a note, please be a courteous fan. Wait for the next whistle before going to or leaving your seats. That's definitely on the etiquette list. Lean back in your seat so as not to block the view of the guests behind you. And finally, a note on foul language. Now, I think we all agree with that. But I saw this get tweeted out, Mark, and everyone was, oh, what a bunch of wimps, and, you know, screw San Jose and blah, blah, blah. And I chimed in. I was like, well, as a season ticket holder, I can tell you unequivocally that we could use these cards at T-Mobile.
Uh-huh.
Now, I sent out a tweet today that we'd be talking about our Vegas Golden Knights fans trying to be poor at etiquette to thus rile the feathers of people around them, or are they just dumb? Now, okay. Maybe dumb was a little harsh, right? Inexperienced, would that be nicer? Listen, it is an undeniable fact about Vegas being a new hockey town. They just don't understand the etiquette. They don't.
Yeah.
So I actually, rather than, and you saw that, you know, a lot of responses to Willie's tweets was, what's wrong with leaning back or leaning forward in your seat? It's like, well, you've never been to a hockey game. First of all, it's elevated. So if you lean forward, you're taking the viewing space not only of the person in front of you and interrupting it for them, there's people behind you. And now they've got to duck around your head. And the issue with hockey, almost unlike, I mean, especially if you're talking about the most comparable game side to side, sunken in arena, basketball.
Yeah.
Basketball is just not as fast. It's fast.
Yeah.
But the fastest game in sports is hockey. It moves at a lightning pace.
And it's a big ball compared to a little puck.
Exactly.
So you can keep your eye on it.
Your frame of window to view is so much smaller. And I just, you know, I see this all the time at T-Mobile. I'm regularly leaning forward in my seat, but it's always in response to the people in front of me leaning forward. So I'm doing this.
Uh-huh.
I'm navigating my head and trying to look around. You know, at times someone can be leaning in front of me to the seat to my right, and if they lean far enough or if they lean even just a little bit, they've completely block entirely Marc-Andre Fleury from me. I'm talking like complete block.
Yeah.
Now that, if there's just one game, a goal scored or a couple goals scored per game and someone, you know, leans in front of you and blocks your goal, I mean, how pissed are you going to be? Now I'm a season ticket holder. So it's not, I mean, I'm lucky to get to go to a lot of games, and, you know, I'm very thankful for that. And I was early on the list before we even had a team. I was part of that first, you know, 10,000, the drive to get the team there. So I understand. I'm trying to, like, view this from a non-frequent goer. If you're just going once or twice and this happens to you, like, you got to understand, Vegas, I know it's new to you, but just because it sounds awkward or unfamiliar, trust me, there is reasons this happened. Mark, I would love for this to happen at T-Mobile. I just don't know. I'm judging from the Twitter responses. I don't know how receptive fans would be in the building. What are you telling me? We don't know hockey. We know hockey. What's the big deal? And another thing that wasn't on this card that you see a lot of at Golden Knights games is you can add this to the list. Now, they probably don't pass out cards because the people that this affects pay like $5,000 a ticket. Yeah. But the banging on the glass. It is a huge no-no in terms of hockey etiquette. Now, it's been debated fervently for decades. Is it right? Is it wrong? These people pay a lot of money. They should be able to sit up in the glass and bang the glass, right? Well, the problem is, number one, you're dealing with multi-million-dollar athletes. They don't hear you.
Yeah.
So the only people that hear you are the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, those people, if they're not banging on the glass, they aren't in on that sort of vibe. Not their sort of rodeo, right? And also another thing, when you're dealing with the tempered glass down there by the ice, there is a lot of distortion in both directions. If you go taking your oily-ass hands and smearing them all the glass, unless you got some Windex and you're sitting there wiping it down, think about if you're wearing glasses and you just take your fingers and rub them all over your glasses. Is that an enjoyable experience for you?
No doubt.
Hell no. Now, imagine you're paying thousands of dollars and some drunk moron is sitting there, hey, Fleury, or Sidney Crosby, whatever, right? And then that's what you have to deal with. And then, oh, all those guys' hand marks are all over distorting the view. Just saying, Vegas, we can get better together. I'm here. We are here to help. We can all become a great hockey town as one, unified. Speaking of hockey, coming up next here on the Mac Attack, we got the one and only Ryan the Hockey Guy from Fox Sports Net. One half of the VGK Insider crew. I said Fox Sports Net, excuse me. Fox Sports Radio, our sister station over here at Lotus Broadcasting. Ryan the Hockey Guy coming up next here on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, joining the show right now, pleased to welcome one half of the VGK Insider crew on our sister station over there at Fox Sports, one and only, Ryan the Hockey Guy. Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's always fun to come in and do this after some wins, right?
Yes, right. Not surging in the middle of a slump. No, we are surging, just surging on the other end of the spectrum, right? You have actually been in here when things were a little bit tougher in the middle of the season. Kind of want to start the show off a little back in mid-January. It was like, okay, what exactly is going on here? We got a better idea now. 9-1 since Mark Stone was traded. This looks like, I don't want to say a completely different team, but definitely a different team on some level. Before we get to last night and the San Jose Sharks, at least the in-game, this is something we just talked about here on the show and through the magic of radio. I know you're on Fox Sports right now, but we're gonna touch on this right now. No, seriously, our buddy Willie G. Ramirez over at the AP had a tweet last night that said, a Golden Knights fan was reprimanded while attending tonight's game against the San Jose Sharks at the SP Center because they leaned forward in their seats. This card, if you didn't see it, I'm showing it to you now. It says, please be a courteous fan. Wait for the next whistle before going to or leaving your seats. Lean back in your seat so it's not blocked the view. And no use of foul language. It's something we all expect. Now, I've noticed that is a serious problem as a season ticket holder. VGK fans just don't have that understanding and education. I'm having a little fun. I'm not actually knocking them. I just think it's a level of inexperience. Maybe you can kind of educate the fan base. And seriously, how important it is. I mean, I would think the not interrupting during gameplay would speak for itself, but the leaning forward in the seats.
This is a hard question for me, mainly because I don't have to worry about it.
Right, you know, I'm at. You were a Kings fan. You did go to hockey games.
Yeah, no, that's true. You want the experience to be good for every single person that's in the arena. Everybody buys a ticket. Everybody goes to that arena wanting to see the game. If you are a fan, you want to make it nice and enjoyable for everybody around you. Does that always happen? Absolutely not. Sure. But there are certain situations where if you're blocking somebody's view, just be a good person, right?
Well, like
be
a good person. Yeah, and the seats are different. You're angled, okay? The action's faster, hence why you wait until the action stops to move in and out. Because let's say you're in a tight game, and it's a 2-1 game, let's say it's a 1-0 game, and that person that crosses you and makes you stand up, let's say that's the only goal scored. You pay $200, $250 bucks to sit down by the glass, and you miss the only goal scored during that game. The game moves so fast, right?
Yeah.
That's why these rules and these cards exist.
No, I,
or not rules, but
I like
suggestions.
Again, it's one of those situations where, like, you know, you kind of survey what's going on around you. You kind of survey the people that are around you, and you know, you put the onus on just people being courteous to one another. That's really what it comes down to. You shouldn't necessarily need a card to explain that you need to be a good person.
I feel like that's where we're at, though. I'm being honest. Like, I saw this card and I was like, man, I really wish we gave these out at Golden Knights fans. Actually, dude, this happened to me a couple games ago. I don't remember the specific game, but the season ticket holder behind me gave his tickets to some of his friends. He had sat there the first two periods. They came down in the third period, right?
Yeah.
They came in right during the middle of action, and someone said something. And then those people were like, really, dude, you're going to say something? And it started a legit fight behind us where I had to turn around and interject. And I was like, actually, I was like, straight up, like, it's a poor form. Like, everyone has a problem with it. They just voiced it. And they were like, and they started arguing with me. Well, you must not know hockey. And I was like, you know what? I'm in a losing battle here. I completely stopped. But it does happen a lot at T-Mobile.
Yeah, I mean, most ushers, right, at the
They try.
They will not allow people to walk down through those stairs until there is a stop in the action. But you know how people move, especially with beer, especially with all their concessions.
And I'm lower, so it takes a while for them to get down there.
Exactly. Yeah. In a perfect world, you'd stop on the stairs, but then you might be blocking somebody else. I mean, it's an imperfect situation.
Sure,
however,
sure.
people can go out of their way to be good and courteous, or they could just do what they want to do and screw everybody else.
We're here with Ryan, the hockey guy from Fox Sports over on our sister station. So we're going to close on this. Yes or no? Does T-Mobile need fan enforcement cards or fan suggestion cards? Etiquette cards.
I firmly believe people are smart enough to be good people, okay. And they don't need a card to be handed out to them to remind them to just be considerate to other people.
Very trusting of you. It's very trusting of
I
you.
Just want to believe in that world. Yes. That's all.
Me too. Me too. We're lovers. We believe. Progressive guys here, Ryan and Ryan. Ryan Squared here on the Mac Attack. So I mentioned it, man. 9-1 since the acquisition of Mark Stone. You know, the two-way player that, you know, I think the biggest thing about this acquisition is it really ironed out the third line, gave them some room to breathe and some consistency. But I also don't think it's a coincidence that this two-way player comes in with a great stick, both ends of the ice right, and then kind of the whole team is following suit. It certainly feels that way, right?
So the biggest takeaway for me from Mark Stone is what he is meant to the Golden Knights top line. Jonathan Marchessault, William Carlson, Riley Smith. And because, the reason...
I think I know where you're going, but I'm going to let you go.
The reason I say that is other teams are game planning for Mark Stone's line. Whereas before, other teams were game planning for the top line, right. Carlson, Marchessault, and Smith. And what ends up happening when you have to face tough competition every single night, and once there's some tape on you and once other teams understand and look at your tendencies, especially when it's higher end talent that you're facing off against, they'll figure out ways to shut you down. With the acquisition of Stone, now you have two legitimate lines that are capable of taking over the game at any point in time. So you have other teams game planning for the Stone line, and all of a sudden that opens up extra time, extra space, and more favorable matchups for the Carlson line.
Yeah.
And that was on full display last night against San Jose. 10 points between those three players. 4-point night for Marchessault, 4-point night for Riley Smith, 2-point night for William Carlson. That's what, to me, has really stood out, is the improved play of those three players. And it's all because other teams have to make a decision now.
Mm-hmm.
Which line do I shut down? Which line do I want to beat me less? And then the other line has to just take up the slack. And they've done it so far.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about that balance now with two legitimate lines for the Golden Knights. Without Mark Stone, it was Stastny and it was Pacioretty, and they could have good games here and there, but that shift-to-shift consistency that you now have with Mark Stone.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need a lot of time. He doesn't need a lot of space. He doesn't even need a lot of opportunities. He affects the outcome of the game so much that you can try to contain him, but it's not really going to happen. Other teams did that when he was in Ottawa. Everybody tried to shut down Mark Stone in Ottawa.
Because he was the only guy in town, essentially.
It didn't work. Right. He knows how to play through that. So now you've got a guy that's going to affect the game no matter what coverage he sees. And then you have a line that's benefiting from not having to face that tough competition.
Yeah, well, you talked about it last night. That one line was outstanding. They've been playing really well as of late. It seems to be you're crediting the arrival of Mark Stone for that. You know, whether it's Stone, whatever the reason may be, I would just say it's a welcome sight for Vegas Golden Knights fans, because this has been one of those things when, now we understand it's not last year. We get that. But that was one of the things that you banked on coming into 2019, right? That this team, or this line, was going to be the steadfast placeholder. All other things could be a little shaky, but that one line was going to deliver prior to what, you know, because what we had seen last year. That wasn't always the case this year, but boy, has that changed over the last 10, 15 games.
Yeah, they've been great, and they have to continue that. You need that consistency from game to game. But again, it's the acquisition of Mark Stone kind of allowing that line to do what they did last year. They were under the radar last year. Yes, they were really, really good, and they were really good all year, but it wasn't until later in the year where they started to maybe slow down a little bit because other teams were starting to focus only on them.
The reputation they were gaining.
Exactly. Yeah. So now you've got them in a beneficial spot once again, and they can just go out there and play hockey. And they don't need... And the other thing, too, is Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, Paul Stastny are all really, really good defensively. So when Gerard Gallant wants to shut somebody else down,
yeah,
it's not the Carlson line that has to be that shutdown line. It's not the line that you need to throw over the boards in order to get a stop or in order to shut down a player. You now have two lines that you can go to. So it keeps their energy up throughout the game. It takes a little bit of that pressure off for them to just go out there and play their style, play their game. And it's worked. And it's worked really, really well. I will say this. Mark Stone individually has been phenomenal for this team. The reads that he makes, you mentioned his stick. He gets a stick on everything. But I think the biggest takeaway when it comes to Mark Stone, the individual, and what effect he has on this team, patience. There's zero panic in his game. And how many times have we looked at the power play? How many times have we looked at the Golden Knights in their own zone, in the offensive zone?
The unsure nature of it all. Yep.
And said, they're rushing, they're forcing.
Great point.
None of that happens with Mark Stone. He picks up the puck. He is poised. He draws coverage. He waits it out until the last possible minute, and then he makes the right play almost all the time. Yeah. And that rubs off on everybody else. Alex Tuch seemed more sure of himself. You're getting a little bit better play out of Tomáš Nosek on the third line. Ryan Carpenter's been fantastic. The top line has even been more assured with the puck. And that's, I think, the rub off from Mark Stone individually, what he does on the ice as an individual, how that's really affected the rest of the team.
And you hear the rest of the team talking. It sure sounds like they agree with you. I mean, everyone you hear speak, it's the Mark Stone story. So it's very exciting. Obviously, I mentioned 9-1. Mark Stone has arrived and this team is surging. You look back to last night, man. Great win, obviously, anytime you can go into the Shark Tank, a division rival, you know, beat a team like that down this close to the playoffs. But my real takeaway, again, and I don't know if you have numbers on this, we haven't talked about this, the Vegas Golden Knights walked Martin Jones again, which I was talking to one of my buddies as a season ticket holder. He's convinced it's like an 85% walk rate. I don't know what the actual number is, but it feels like, Ryan, that whenever the Golden Knights play Martin Jones, the goaltender for the San Jose Sharks, the dude seems to have problems.
Well, I do have the numbers on it.
Okay, what is it?
He started 12 games against the Golden Knights.
How many walks? I said 4.
5.
Okay.
5. So
that is a lot of walks against one team.
Yes, it's not very good. And the reason Martin Jones struggles against the Golden Knights is because of just what he is as a goalie. His lateral movement isn't very good. He's a big positional guy. He's not the most athletic goalie in the world. And when you play a team like the Golden Knights that want to get a lot of their offense in transition, if you're not making the proper reads and you're not overly athletic, you're going to struggle. When you look at the Mark Stone goal, it's a lazy read by Martin Jones. You've got Riley Smith with the puck all along the half wall, and he's delaying and delaying and delaying, and you've got Mark Stone coming in late on the play, and it's a cross-ice pass that Martin Jones should be able to read and pick up and push off in time to make the save. But he doesn't make the right push because he doesn't make the right read, and then the puck's in the back of the net because his lateral movement isn't where it needs to be. Martin Jones struggles against high-flight teams. When the San Jose Sharks made the Stanley Cup final and lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins, Martin Jones, for the first time in the playoffs, looked human because he had to move to make saves. When he moves, he opens up. He's very leaky that way. That's why I think the Golden Knights and their offense, the scheme, that transition, 3-on-2s, 2-on-1s, benefits them because that's really what Martin Jones struggles with the most.
Yeah, well, we had our buddy Adam Hill on yesterday from the Review Journal, and he suggested that the Vegas Golden Knights tank the rest of the way, so setting up a favorable matchup with Calgary in the first round of the playoffs. Now, I have a feeling he might be changing his tone after last night, and you see just how dominant this team was against the Sharks. And really, as we talked about, it's kind of a regular occurrence against Martin Jones. They're a little banged up with Pavelski and Carlson. There's a lot of questions heading into the playoffs. Point being, Ryan, huge win last night for Vegas. I called it a statement game. It felt like a tone setter heading into these last final weeks.
I think you're absolutely right on that. I definitely think the Golden Knights went up there with a purpose. They wanted to make sure that San Jose has a little bit of those lingering doubts. Now, there's one more meeting between these two teams under similar circumstances where the Golden Knights are going to play at home and then board a plane, go to San Jose, play a back-to-back with the travel. I wouldn't be necessarily worried about that if I'm the Vegas Golden Knights. There were times in that game, especially late, where San Jose looked old and Vegas looked fast. And that's kind of the big thing, right? San Jose's got a lot of firepower. They've got guys that can put the puck in the net.
Sure.
You mentioned no Pavelski, no Carlson. If those two play, maybe it's a little bit different story. But the point being is this. The Golden Knights are faster than San Jose. San Jose is older than Vegas. and I don't trust their goaltending. When it comes to Calgary, when it comes to San Jose, I don't really care. Yeah. It doesn't really matter to me who the Golden Knights...
Well, also, Calgary's not proven in any way.
Well, they're not proven at all, but goaltending is going to make or break you in the playoffs. Sure. We've seen this over and over again, countless times. That is the sign of a team that's going to go deep. Do they have the advantage in goal?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. At this point, you give me Marc-Andre Fleury, and you have, and I have to choose between Martin Jones or David Riddick or even Mike Smith at this point.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm going with Marc-Andre Fleury.
100%.
And it's you know, no slight on Calgary. They can score goals. No slight on San Jose. They can score goals. They can defend well enough, but they can't keep the puck out of their own net. And you're going to be undone if you're those two teams. You're going to be undone by the fact that you really don't have the goaltending to support what you have up front and on the back end.
All right, we'll end on this with Ryan the Hockey Guy from Fox Sports over on our sister station, one half of the VGK Insider crew. Malcolm Subban, first time he's played back-to-back games as a Vegas Golden Knight. I know the first period was a little shaky for the guy, but overall, you want to talk about movement? You want to talk about lateral movement, Ryan? Oh, my God, did he make a couple saves last night that had me just, you know, jumping off my couch with my hands on my head.
It's the athleticism that jumps right out at you.
And
the thing with Malcolm, and I'm going to try to say this as delicately as possible, he's a backup goalie.
Yep.
The only job he has is to give his team a chance to win. Here's another stat. In the seven starts that Malcolm Subban had to start the season, the first seven games that he started as a Golden Knight, the Golden Knights scored 13 total goals. In the last two games, the Golden Knights have scored 13 total goals for Malcolm Subban. And go figure, when you get that goal support, you win hockey games.
Give him a little confidence. Give him a little confidence.
So on Malcolm Subban, he does his job as a backup. That's all you need him to do. That's all you should ever want him to do, because you don't necessarily want or need any type of goalie controversy, especially given how things ended in Pittsburgh for Marc-Andre Fleury. Lastly, Malcolm Subban's going to take a little bit of extra time to get himself into games, because he doesn't see the puck very often. He doesn't play games very often. How good would you be at radio if you opened a mic once every week and a half, 2 weeks? Wouldn't be very good. Like, we wouldn't be very good if we didn't actually go out there and do this. And you can talk in front of the mirror all you want to. You can talk to yourself in the shower all you want to. It doesn't change the fact that it's not the same. It just simply isn't. So Malcolm Subban, he can practice tip drills all he wants to. He can practice getting himself into a game all he wants to. It doesn't replace starts. So for me, it's really not a big surprise that Malcolm Subban has been so good in the second and third period. He's into games. He's finally seeing that action. He's finally adjusting. But it's going to take time because he's not consistently starting games.
Ryan, great stuff as always, my friend. We will catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. All right, coming up next here on the Mac Attack, we got an update on that Robert Kraft situation going in New England. Keep it locked. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Mac Attack. It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, back here on the Mac Attack. Couple minutes left to go here on this Tuesday. Tournament kicks off tonight. Play-in games are just about. When's that first game, Mark? Not to put you on the spot. What is it?
The broadcast starts over here at 3:30, so I'm probably guessing the tip is around 4.
All right. All right, so coming up in about an hour right here on 920 The Game.
You can catch play-in games or the first round, and then Thursday and Friday we'll have all-day action, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
And that would be a good time to announce if you didn't catch it there. Yeah. We're going to have all-day action on Thursday and Friday for the tournament here on 920 The Game. I will not be on Thursday and Friday. So programming note on that front, no Mac Attack Thursday and Friday this week, but I will be on Cofield on Thursday. We're going to be live down at the Westgate getting you ready for that whole opening day, the festivities down at the Westgate. That is going to be a lot of fun. I've done downtown every year, or most years, but I've never done the Westgate, so really excited.
You're in for it. It's awesome.
No, I'm really excited. So I said I got some news on Robert Kraft. Small note, but a note nonetheless. Obviously, the prostitution charges against Robert Kraft, Patriots owner. Florida prosecutors are offering to drop the charges against Kraft if he admits guilt in the case. So he will avoid.
Sometimes you got to take one for the team, man.
You do, and for literally, for him, this is a case of we got other time to get into it as far as the ramifications, societally speaking, why this is happening to a rich white guy, but he's going to get or not get any marks on his record. He won't have to be a registered sex offender. He won't be a felon. I'm going to think. Robert Kraft is going to take this deal.
Yeah.
It's a safe face deal all the way around now. Yeah. There's no word yet from Robert Kraft, if he will. But that's a bit of a note on the Robert Kraft front. Speaking of debauchery, this is something we touched on yesterday. Pornhub, the site. We're big on research here. It's something we talked about with I said this on Cofield yesterday. And it was a story that Pornhub released their data for searches on St. Paddy's Day. You know, it's a celebratory day. People are feeling like to celebrate in unique ways, I guess.
Uh-huh.
The top of the list, really weird search queries. The top was leprechaun. It jumped like 1,000. Your face. Mark had an inquisitive look upon your face, right? I had the same thing. I was like, really? Like, what are you looking for? First of all, I feel like you would just, I don't know how to navigate these waters. I feel like you would just like Google little people or Pornhub little people or midgets. I always felt, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, I feel like leprechaun is like a weird choice of words, right? And then second on the list was like St. Paddy's Day. And I was talking with Cofield. I was just trying to figure out. I was like, we settled on clearly the two best search terms. One was redhead. And I was like, yes, redhead. That, you're going to be festive for St. Paddy's Day. That's the one I would go with.
Yeah.
And the next we came with pale. I was like, that's a good one. But then, you know how all your best ideas happen after the show?
Uh-huh.
I was marinating and I was starting to think. I was like, wait, well, first of all, my wife was the one who suggested it. She was like, drunk. I was like, yes.
I was going to say beer, like drinking beer.
Drunk. Yeah. Drunk sex. How is that not the number one search return, along with redheads, or drunk redhead sex on St. Paddy's Day? I feel like that would be the
criteria. Why does it change on St. Patrick's Day? Like, I could see, like, Christmas or something. You're like, Miss Claus porn or something like that. But, like, I don't know, St. Patrick's Day just doesn't strike me as the holiday that you start searching for different porn.
No one's Irish, and everyone goes out and acts like they're Irish.
Yeah.
So it like clearly speaks to the fervor that sets upon everyone when St. Paddy's Day comes down. It is a big holiday for casual people.
Yeah, a Cinco de Mayo. I can see you Googling Spanish and well, things
same.
Like that.
This is
that.
The Irish Cinco de Mayo. I mean, not the same. It's not freedom and all that stuff. Uh-huh. But I mean, it's there. It's the Irish holiday. And everyone thinks they're Irish.
Yeah.
Every white guy's got a story on St. Paddy's Day. My great-great-grandfather. No.
Yeah.
Go get one of those Ancestry.com tests. You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you you're white. You're from Europe. All right. We'll be back in 24 hours here on the Mac Attack. Wild Card Wednesday coming up tomorrow. See you then.